Hello everyone, welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to be checking in with Dennis Williams to see how his business is doing at the moment. And I'll be talking to expert retail commentator Graham Salt about what the future might look like for high streets. And we'll hear from James Lohman in the latest radio campaign that's going out to local areas in the coming days. First, though, I'd like to update on a few things that have changed over the last week. The big one, of course, being around testing. Now, the government has opened up testing to any key worker who is isolating with symptoms or anyone who is isolating because someone in their household has symptoms. This is, of course, part of the government's plan to reach 100,000 tests a day pretty soon. And I will, I'm sure, be welcome news for anyone working in the sector that thinks they might have the virus but isn't quite sure. Testing is the subject of this week's discussion with James, so keep listening for more detail on that a little bit later. I don't necessarily want to repeat everything that James is going to say in his local radio campaign, so keep tuned for that later on. The next thing I want to cover is a new 100% government guaranteed loan scheme that was announced this week by Chancellor Rishi Sunak for the smallest businesses that have been affected by COVID-19. These new bounce back loans will provide funds of up to £50,000, and the government will pay interest on those loans for the first 12 months. There's also a new £1.5 million COVID-19 fund that was launched by industry charity Grocery Aid this week, which provides support for people in the grocery sector in three key ways. And these are mental health support from trained counsellors and online, financial assistance for those who have experienced the loss of a loved one through COVID-19, and crisis grants for colleagues that experience unexpected financial emergencies due to COVID-19. This is a really important it's a really important fund that will help a lot of people. And if there's anyone listening that thinks they might need assistance through Grocery Aid, the number to call is 08088021122. And I'll say that again. It's 08088021122. Now then, on to this week's interviews. So Dennis and Linda Williams are award-winning retailers that are pretty well-known in the sector. Their Broadway convenience store is often featured in the trade and national press for the work that they do in their community. I caught up with Dennis earlier today to hear about how they've been getting on. Hi, Dennis. How are you doing?
Hi, great, Chris. Great, Chris, yes.
So I imagine you've been extremely busy over the last few weeks. Tell us about a bit about what it's been like.
Yeah, we've been very busy. I think the last 2 weeks, our sales have been up 40% year on year.
Right, okay, wow.
But what's been down is footfall's been down.
Yeah, we're hearing that actually across the places that people are saying that fewer people are coming in, but when they are in, they're spending a lot more.
Yeah, and I think an average customer spend the last 2 weeks has been over £10.
Right, okay, yeah. And is that... has that settled down, or do you say over the last couple of weeks? Is that still picking up?
It's been ongoing. The 6 weeks since it started has been very busy. The last 2 weeks we had record weeks, and Friday was the best day we've ever had in business.
Right, okay.
And I think I'll give you the two explanations why. One was the weather.
Yep.
Because last week the weather in Scotland, Edinburgh, was fantastic. We've got about 8 or 9 days of lovely weather, and the other one is the queuing in supermarkets. People are not willing to wait.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I've seen this in supermarkets as well, that people are obviously queuing around the car parks because of all the social distancing. I assume you've got some social distancing measures in the store as well.
Yes. So what we've done with that is we've worked very closely with Luca Premier on this, and Charles has been a big inspiration on this. Is what we've done is we've only allowed either 1,700 square feet store, and we're only allowing 4 people in at a time.
Okay. And have you got big queues outside?
Yes, we have queues outside, but people are quite prepared to wait because they're not waiting. They're length of time that they're waiting at a supermarket.
Yeah, of course.
And they can get everything in their store anyway. I mean, convenience store, you know, we sell the same as what a supermarket sells.
Yeah, I guess that's both for existing customers, and I suppose you're probably seeing some people that you haven't seen before either.
Yeah, new customers as well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I think one of the interesting things in that, Chris, as well, is that Yeah, we have seen a lot of new customers, but I think one of the things that we touch on as well, it's been a fantastic opportunity with our fresh. Our fruit and veg sales are up about 50-60%.
Right, okay. And is that coming into the store okay as well in terms of supply?
Yes. Yeah, we've had good supplies from our wholesaler for because from that.
That's good, isn't it? It's great when you're able to keep up with demand like that.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's been great. And I think I just want to touch on that, on the store. We now have a one-way, we've got a one-way system in as well. So, because remember, we've got a food-to-go area in our store. So it's very important that we get everybody queuing in the right places. So we'll have a queue for our food-to-go, and we'll have a food-to-go and a queue for our till area as well. So we've now got a one-way system in our store, and it's worked really well, and the customers have been fantastic with it, and they understand it.
And what's it been like with the food to go? So you've kept the food to go section open. Are you seeing a lot more trade from...
No. Our sales are down on that. And I think it's not any use. There's no workers. No, the building place closed down.
Right, okay.
But what we are getting, we're getting a lot of health workers and home helps and all these people are out and about in the community coming into the store.
Okay, and I guess they appreciate having hot food from somewhere because I guess they can't get it
anywhere else. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's I guess that's really, really helpful for them. One of the things actually I wanted to ask you about was something I saw online, and this is about a fund that you set up locally for people. So could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that because I think that was really interesting. So first of all, we come up with the idea when it first started is. But we thought it'd be nice to give sandwiches away, you know, put a few in our store and our telecom, free sandwiches for, you know, people who would be finding it really tough. And I'm sure there's a lot of families out there just now finding it tough. So we thought, and then we got some posts on our Facebook page that thought it was a great idea. And then some people were putting on our Facebook page that they like to donate something, you know, for to buy. The products to keep the free sandwiches like bread and cheese and fillets and that. So Linda, it was Linda's idea. So Linda says, why? She went home with my daughter one night, it was a Friday, and it was 4 o'clock. And she says, I'll tell you what to do. We'll go onto Facebook and we'll start this hardship fund and we'll meet our target £300. She had £300 in 40 minutes.
Wow, okay.
That's... Now we have. We've raised just under £6,000 on Facebook. We've raised over £2,000 in cash that customers have handed in. We have a hardship bucket, you know, like people put their change in and people have handed envelopes into us, envelopes to our house door where we stay. Some of the donations have been £100. Somebody handed a £50 in yesterday. We've had over £2,000 in that, and we've donated £1,000. So we've now got over £9,000 in our hardship fund.
That's, I mean, over £9,000. How long has it been going? Only a few weeks.
That's been going about two weeks now, I think.
Yeah,
we've been selling a lot. It's about 2 weeks at least.
That's amazing to get that that kind of support locally in such a short time.
But what's been really good, what I've seen is since it's went on Facebook. Is that we have now had calls from two social workers which work in the area. So we're working with them. We're working with a local health officer which is coming out of a local doctor's surgery, and we're working with the school as well. So there's 3 or 4 schools going into one school just now, you know.
Mm.
We're underprivileged children, our people are out working, their kids are putting there. So now they're phoning us and, you know, putting families forward to come in and get messages for electricity or gas. So it's been absolutely fantastic. And I think what's really brought it home is that communities are alive and kicking. I think this has been a great thing for local communities.
Yeah, one of the things that always struck me about your story is you always do a lot of community work. You talked about some of these businesses being new, sort of care homes and schools and that kind of thing. Coming to you.
Well, we've done a lot of community things, and to be fair, Chris, we've never went in for any awards since we won quite a few to start, because we know the standard of going in for the awards now is very high. A lot of to do a lot of great things. But this hardship fund has been a great idea, and it's really brought the community together. So if you go into our Facebook page, Broadway Convenience, and see some of the comments, and some of the, honestly, it breaks your heart. But we've done some great things, but not just us, the whole community has done, really come together. And I think what's been great for us is we are, we've been on the front line, and it's really brought the convenience sector, for me, right to the front line. And hopefully, when this is all over, I'm not saying we're going to get every customer back, but we'll get a percentage, we'll keep them. And under the current climate, before this all started, I think that's really a positive thing, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, not just with customers, but with some of these other businesses that you've built relationships with, do you think those will last in sort of long term, and you'll have, you know, that, well, that bigger community?
Well, yeah, hopefully they do, yeah. So, well, when this is finished, Chris, this hardship thing's not going to go away. This is going to be here for years.
Mm.
People are going to, you know what I mean? People, it's not like winning a lottery once this is finished, everything goes back to normal. This is going to take a long, long time, Chris, for some families get back on their feet again.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, especially when we're thinking about into the medium to long term, potential second wave, next, you know, next set of lockdown measures, potentially in you know, in the winter. And, you know, we're absolutely right. We're in for the long haul on this. And, you know, if you can set these things up now that have some longevity, then, you know, that's got to be a great thing locally, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've paid it over about £1,200 already with messages. And well, if somebody, just a quick story, if somebody, you know, had a slight stroke, now he's been taken into hospital, he's back out, so one of his friends coming today, so we're going to send him down a bag of messages today.
Yeah,
that's just an instance that you can help people immediately. And our delivery service, we're always in delivery services. I don't do it online, and I will be looking to do it online. I know that's the way going forward, I understand that. But just now, my daughter's been working between 9 and 11, Monday to Saturday. We've had it all over our Facebook page, and we get 10 to 12 orders every day. Some people spend 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 pounds. Some people have spent £160, Chris.
Wow,
it's been
okay.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And my daughter's done a brilliant job.
And on that home delivery point, because we've heard, see, lots of retailers doing this in different ways. I mean, you said it's quite a simple way of administering that. It doesn't have to be, you know, fancy through apps and all that kind of thing. Do you think this is something that will hold on past lockdown?
I think going forward, deliveries, if you watch everybody now, everybody's going to, even anybody opens up like Greg's and that, they're talking, they think they're opening up Monday, they're talking about deliveries. But deliveries is definitely the way forward. But I think for everybody differently than now, it's how you do it. And you do what's best to suit your business.
Yeah, yeah,
because
definitely.
Because there's cost to do things as well, Chris. See, we do a food delivery service. We're quite happy to take our business. And we know some of the families, some of the people that have been going around, they're locked down for 12 weeks. Now, we know we're going to get them for 12 weeks.
Yeah,
so we've got 12
weeks
left
of
business. So, and as you say, I think this is going to be long term. I don't think it's going to be short term. So it can only be as good. Now, whether we get them all back, I don't think they will. I'd be naive to think they would, but I think we'll definitely keep some of them.
But yeah, no, that's the thing, isn't it? The important thing is you're there now, and those people, that you're front of mind for those people, and you've made a difference.
Yeah. And if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see some of the lovely comments we've had about Chris, we've had some lovely comments about the store and about us. But we just think we're all in it together. You know what I mean? We've always thought the communities, well, you know us, you know what I mean? We just think it's part of our job.
Thanks to Dennis again. It's really great to hear about the success of their hardship fund, especially in just the last few weeks, and shows that the community really is coming together around their local shop. My next guest is expert retail commentator and consultant Graham Salt, who took time out from being asked by the national press pretty much every day about what the future might look like to being asked by me about what the future might look like. So apologise for that in advance. Graham is a really authoritative voice on retail, and he's pretty close to what we do at ACS, as he was part of our panel for the local shop report launch last year and gave some really great insights. So here is that interview now. Hi, Graham. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing all right, actually, in the circumstances that we all find ourselves in.
Yeah, which is, pretty unprecedented times. But for someone who's a retail commentator and a retail expert, it's got to be a pretty busy time for you.
Certainly it is. I'm certainly in demand to be kind of answering questions about what's going on and what it means and all the changes that we find happening at the moment. It's certainly something that I think no one quite predicted and no one is quite sure how it's going to end or when it's going to end. But I think there's certainly a place for people who can try and make sense of it all, because there's such a lot of information out there and confusion that I'm trying to use what influence I can to kind of share the good news and to try and keep people informed and updated as best I can.
Yeah, and one of the things actually that I wanted to start with, which really struck me, was something that you said at our local shop report launch last year. And you mentioned at the time, when we were talking about convenience stores, that they are basically turning into mini high streets in and of themselves. And what have you seen? Because obviously convenience stores now are one of the only shops that are open. Have you seen that really sort of come home and come full circle?
Yeah, I think people are certainly rediscovering or even discovering for the first time their local convenience stores, because in a way it's quite easy to walk past your Cost Cutter or your Nicer when you're kind of headed towards kind of Tesco out of habit. But I think people have reassessed how they view their local shops, partly because of kind of issues around all the toilet rolls and pasta and things a few weeks ago, when often you could find these things more readily in the convenience stores. And also there's certainly the whole kind of hassle factor as well, and people I think are looking at the convenience stores as a less stressful way of shopping. And actually, when you go into them, you realize that as well as having a pretty good range of groceries in many cases, often there's some quite useful non-food stuff there as well. I picked up some blue tack and some garden sacks from the local Cost Cutter, and again, I had my eyes opened about quite what a good range they had, and I think I'm certainly not alone in that.
Yeah, and it's something I hadn't really thought about actually. Is what you say there about the experience being less stressful? So we talked about availability and people going to convenience stores because they have the things that supermarkets didn't necessarily a few weeks ago, but you're right. It's when I go to my local shop just up the road, I usually go there because going to a bigger store, there are a lot more people there, and you've got dodging around the aisles and trying to keep 2 meters and all that sort of thing. And it's quite a stressful experience. But yeah, you're right. Going to a smaller shop where there's maybe two or three people in there is a bit more relaxing, I think.
It is, and I think all these issues around the stress and the kind of mental impact of trying to navigate, all the situation is really important, because, I'm normally quite happy to go into a big supermarket, but actually, when you have people who you see who are going the wrong way, who are coming at you with a trolley, who are making a move to lean over, the whole experience is really stressful. And actually, I went into Gateshead one day and I saw the queues outside Iceland and Herons and Tesco and thought, blimey, I can't be doing this, it's too much. And so I came back home again and just went into the convenience store, where I had it, almost to myself, just two or three people in a nice, clean, a calm space, and it was like, wow, I don't mind paying a bit more just for my own sanity of not having to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. And I think the way that you get into a bigger store now, with the whole queuing around the car park thing that we've got, while it's absolutely crucial, it's going to be a bit less appealing now that the weather's not so good. We've had, 6 weeks of phenomenal weather where everyone's staying inside.
Absolutely, yeah.
People are thinking,
a record-breaking April.
Yeah, and people thinking, I don't mind hanging outside for half an hour, but that's probably not going to be the case now, is it? And people will be, going to their local shops a bit more because it's, a few minutes outside instead of half an hour.
That's right, and even, even the queuing can be stressful, because I know that, I've avoided big supermarkets completely because I just can't face it. So I've been using the local convenience stores and the Co-op and topping up at Aldi when I have to, as the queues there have been pretty small. I've only had to wait about 2 minutes max, I think. But you know, even there, you're constantly looking behind you, making sure that someone isn't getting too close. And so I think certainly if waiting in line is the new normal, I think it will certainly have an impact on how people choose to shop. If you look out the window and it's pouring with rain before you head out.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. So as we're now, what, 6-7 weeks into the lockdown, and we're starting to see some other stores opening or trial opening. We looked at sort of B&Q have opened some stores again now. Greg's looking to open some stores. McDonald's now trialing. Do you think this is something that other retailers will follow, or are they more isolated? Are we now coming into a phase where retailers are and, you know, I guess food, hardware, those kind of things are getting a bit more confident about what they can and can't do?
Yeah, I think it's quite a complicated situation for the consumer to understand, because they look at stores like Greg's and B&Q starting to open and think, oh, has the lockdown been relaxed? And of course, it hasn't. It's just that stores like Greg's and B&Q are ones that could have opened all along if they wanted to, as they fall under the remit of essential retailers. But, you know, obviously and rightly, they didn't feel at the beginning that they had the systems or procedures in place that would allow them to trade safely from the point of view of keeping their staff and their customers safe. So I think it's important to make that point, and I've been making that point quite a lot. Obviously, I'm from Gateshead, and so Greg's is big news up here in terms of people having access to their pasties and all the rest of it for the first time in a while. But I think that is one element of it. And what you have seen, I think, is stores like B&Q looking at what the supermarkets have been doing and learning from that and seeing what works and seeing what consumers are prepared to accept in terms of the queuing and the waiting times and the kind of demarcations in store and all that kind of thing. And I suppose the more that this goes on and the more that becomes normal, the more stores like B&Q and Greg's are going to think, okay, you know, how can we implement those kind of measures in our stores as well? And then, you know, in a next phase, you've also got stores like John Lewis who are maybe kind of looking at things behind the scenes and thinking, okay, you know, when the lockdown is relaxed a bit and stores like ours are allowed to open, you know, how do we deal with those kind of issues as well? And next, of course, another one that is starting to think about, you know, how it might begin to trade safely from its diverse store estate.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned John Lewis and Next and even Greg's, actually, because they're a really interesting case in that they are generally cornerstones of those high streets, and we know that high streets are a notoriously fragile beast. So I guess it's difficult for them to make a decision to open purely from a commercial perspective if other businesses aren't as well. I mean, you don't want one store open on a sort of on a big high street and then no one else open, because I mean, you're just not going to get the people, are they?
No, that's true, and I suppose you've seen that already to a certain extent. So you know, I was in Newcastle last week, just doing my kind of shop at the Waitrose in Eldon Square, and Poundland, for example, has chosen not to open its store inside the mall, but it has opened one further along the street, because it's a retailer like B&M and others as well, who have looked at their estate and realised that actually some of these stores are just in the wrong locations at the moment, and there's no one passing, and it's not worth sort of opening those ones. Whereas other stores, you know, often the ones that actually are in busy open air high street locations rather than inside malls are the ones that have been proving more popular. As clearly, if you've got a centre like Metro Centre, a big out of town scheme just up the road here in Gateshead, you know, it's very hard for just a handful of stores to make it work when they're trading inside a mall where 90% of it is closed. So I think certainly as time goes on, you know, I think having fashion retailers allowed to open will be a big shift, because clearly if you go into kind of many town or centres or shopping centres, a fair chunk of what you see there is fashion retailers of one kind or another, Marks and Spencer, Primark, Next, TK Maxx, all those kind of brands. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how those different retailers deal with it. And in some cases, their stores are going to be quite hard to make work because the whole layout and the whole way that stores have been presented doesn't necessarily work for this new normal that we're all talking about.
No, you're right. And I think some of these stores are laid out in a way that is designed to sort of not fully, but sort of make you get lost a bit in them. And if you can't do that, then that's a challenge for those retailers. I think another challenge they're facing as well is whether or not people are actually going to just flock back, or whether they will, you know, change to what this new normal is of potentially doing more home delivery and getting things, you know, straight to their houses. Are you getting a sense that when we do get measures lifted, that there's not just going to be this huge wave of people, or do you think people are just itching to get out now?
It's a good question. I think there are some people who will be itching to get back out there and just to enjoy some of the things that they haven't been able to. But I suppose that's all well and good. But actually, the landscape that will be entering is going to look very different for a while anyway, because I don't think anyone thinks that the lockdown will end and everything will suddenly come back in one go. It's going to be a phased situation that might take months before everything is back to any kind of real normality. So my hunch is that actually it's probably not going to be all that appealing for people to go out there in the first place, even when Next and Primark and John Lewis and the rest of them are open, because if you have to do all the same procedures that you do when you go into Asda or Tesco, and to queue and to go one way and to maybe not try things on anymore and all that kind of stuff, it suddenly makes the experience a lot more functional, a lot more stressful in some ways than it has been. And I've made the point in a tweet, I think, in the last few days, about how we've spent so many years talking about the importance of experience and in-store theatre and all the rest of it. And in a way, all that has gone out of the window overnight, because it doesn't really matter anymore. It's more about making the experience safe and easy and as hassle-free as possible. And it's quite a shift in thinking about the high street, when for so long we've all been focused on, you know, how do we make the high street, you know, offer us these things that you can't do online, and now it's about, you know, how do we make it as simple and as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because with local shops, with convenience stores, we've been talking about the same thing for a long time. It's about experience, it's about, you know, having those conversations with people. It's about having that interaction. It's about having that special feel in a store when you go in. Whereas now, like you said, everything is, it's almost deliberately very sterile. It's very serious. I was in a shop the other day, and I found myself thinking that, you know, I sort of felt guilty for buying anything fun. I was looking for things for my little girl, and I was like, oh, do I actually need that? Is that, you know, all this stuff about essential purchase and that kind of thing, which hopefully is rolled over now. But the wider point about, you know, you don't have that theatre anymore, you don't have that that interruption of people's journeys, and that's going to be a real challenge as we come out of this, as to when people and when retailers decide that they can, I guess, start having a bit more fun in stores.
Yeah, and I think in some ways I think your previous question kind of hinted about this too, and the whole idea of particularly kind of independent businesses offering delivery and really showing how rooted they are in their communities. I think some of that experience and theatre and colour is coming out instead in how businesses are marketing themselves and how they're telling their stories. Because if you go onto Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, there are so many fantastic examples of businesses that are being really kind of honest and upfront about all the challenges they're facing, about what's happening in their lives. And I think people are responding really well to businesses that are, you know, working hard to give customers something, to offer delivery services or click and collect, or to give something back to their community as well. And those stories are really resonating. So it might not be that it's ticking the emotional boxes when you go into a bricks and mortar store, but it's trying to do that via other media instead, via Facebook, via Twitter, via video, and really emphasizing all the characteristics of these local businesses that again, I think people are starting to appreciate that it's some of these smaller independents who really are rooted in their communities, who care about their communities, who are proving how valuable they are now, and you know, all those kind of qualities will stand them, I think, in good stead when it comes to opening up again.
That was my sort of next question, really. It was about when everything is opened up. Do you think there'll be a new hierarchy of how people feel about different types of shop based on who has really stepped up during this time?
Absolutely. I think if you look at what was happening on the high street anyway, and what was happening in retail, I think there was already a shift towards independence assuming a more important role, tapping into, you know, all those things we were talking about experience and distinctiveness, and trying to make the high street less boring, and that I think has been pushed forward even further by the current situation. And equally, we were seeing some of the old multiple retailers who were struggling beforehand, who are now being pushed over the edge, and certainly my perception is that it's many of the independents who seem to be more resilient at the moment, partly because I think they are benefiting from quite a lot of government support in some cases, which is great. And that, I think, is giving them a bit of a breather in some cases. But also, I think independents are doing well in terms of how they're communicating with customers, and we've seen as well some of the businesses that maybe haven't got their communication right over recent weeks, stores like Sports Direct perhaps, or Wetherspoons, that have really been clobbered from a PR point of view because of just completely misjudging the public mood. And so all these factors are going to be important. I think people are going to remember which businesses were out there doing the right things for their customers and their staff, and which ones perhaps weren't so good. That will feed back to an extent, at least, in how people decide to shop and spend their money afterwards.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. People are going to remember both the good and the bad, and we hope that from our sector's point of view that we are on the good side of it as well. So
yes, absolutely.
I think when we get out of this, well, hopefully at some point in the next few months, there is of course the risk of a second wave. If we have something like that, how do you think it will be different, if at all? Do you think we'll have the same sort of peak of panic buying in big shops that then feeds down into small shops? Do you think people have that short term of a memory, or do you think it will be a different experience if we have the same thing for, you know, come November or December?
It's a good question, isn't it? I suppose the main thing is that everybody is trying to avoid making that happen, because I guess from the point of view of most businesses, I think it would be pretty disruptive if things started to be relaxed and then we had to go back to square one. I think that would be worse than having a longer lockdown in the first place. So hopefully it won't happen, but if it did, hypothetically, I suppose people would probably be a bit more prepared, because I know from my point of view, it's I've been slightly shocked in a way at how quickly all this kind of new way of working and a new way of spending time and shopping and everything else has started to feel almost normal. And it's a bit alarming in some ways, because it's like, blimey, if someone had said to me in February that in April life would look like this, I would have been completely horrified. And actually, it hasn't been quite as challenging to embrace it as I would have thought beforehand. And so hopefully, if we did have a situation where we had to almost go back to square one, it wouldn't quite be as bad as people might have expected beforehand. But clearly, the priority has to be to avoid that in the first place, because the worst thing would be if stores like Next and John Lewis and the rest start to open up, and then all of a sudden we're told, actually, you know, it's not working, we have to close again. I think that would be a real blow to retail, you know, as it was trying to recover and trying to come back from what it's currently having to deal with.
Yeah, and so we talked about quite a few things, you know, all sorts of different things that retailers are doing. One final question is, what do you think coming out of this that retailers have learned that they will put into their business in the long term when we get back to a sense of normality that they perhaps were a bit hesitant about, and this has just given them a bit of a kick? What will be sort of the new thing that I guess has been almost forced upon us?
Yeah, I suppose from the point of view of someone like me who spends quite a lot of time going around encouraging small businesses to embrace the power of digital marketing, to make sure that they are offering kind of cashless options for payment in their stores, you know, all those kind of things have been given a bit of a boost, really, in that now it's pretty hard not to engage in some kind of online marketing, and it's pretty hard to only take cash in your stores given all the other factors that are going on. So I'm hoping that the one positive that comes out of it might be that businesses are a bit more savvy about those kind of things if they haven't been until now, and embrace those kind of marketing tools that are and other forms of tech that are out there for them. And I suppose what I'm seeing as well is that some businesses that maybe can't trade at the moment, so like cafes and hair salons, those kind of things, I'm sensing that those businesses are taking a look at how they're working. They're still making good use of social media to keep the customers informed. They're looking at their procedures, learning new things. So I think from the point of view of small retailers, you know, it's an incredibly tough time, of course, but if there's one positive, it's that it's giving people maybe a breathing space to look at things and to reassess how they do business in a way that they wouldn't ordinarily have time for. And I think that's important too, because it's the independents generally who are much better at adapting to the changing circumstances. You look at some of the big retailers and they haven't really known how to navigate the changing high street before now. So if they haven't managed it before, they certainly won't now. Whereas independents, I think traditionally, are more tuned into their customers. They're more nippy at how they see things changing around them. And we've certainly seen that already as well in terms of all these businesses, you know, offering delivery and other ways of working that maybe the big retailers haven't been able to embrace in such a speedy way.
Yeah, and it's really interesting what you say about ways of working, because you often hear when you talk to a business and you say, if you could stop everything and start again, would you do it in the same way? And most of them say, well, no, probably we wouldn't, but they never have the opportunity to do so. And I guess, like you said, maybe potentially one positive is that time to reflect could lead to a better retail experience in 12 to 18 months' time.
Yeah, it's my hope. You know, I'm always trying to look at the positive things that might come out of this. It's hard to find them in some ways, because you look at the situation and it is incredibly tough for lots of businesses. But I think yes, if you can survive this, then hopefully in the post-COVID landscape, you will emerge with a stronger business and lots of switched on and engaged customers who you've been communicating with all the way through on social media and through other means, and hopefully a positive plan of how to move forward and how to keep giving customers what they want.
Great. Well, I think that's a great line to end it on. It's good to end on something positive. I appreciate your, as many people are at the moment, all the way in between Zoom calls. And again, if we thought we'd be doing that 3 months ago, letting everyone into our homes, then that would be a bit different. If I'd known, I'd bought a bigger bookcase to have things behind me. But thanks again, Graham, for taking the time out.
Thank
you. I really appreciate it. It's been a really interesting discussion. The final part of this week's podcast, as has become the norm over recent weeks, is to provide a preview of the local radio work that we're doing to get positive messages out about local shops. Now, this week, as I said earlier on in the podcast, James is talking to our broadcast partner, Marketeers, about the importance and availability of testing for key workers, especially those working and running in convenience stores. So let's hear that now.
Joining me on the line now for more is CEO of the Association of Convenience Stores, James Lohman. James, thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
James, how exactly has the virus impacted staff absence over the last few weeks? You know, are we starting to see most people returning to work now?
We are now seeing people returning. And I think the first thing to say is really to pay tribute to the people working in convenience stores and in larger stores and in food production and wholesaling and distribution, because generally the picture has been that they've kept coming to work. So obviously we've had higher absence levels than usual, as you'd expect, as people are isolating at home or that members of their family have got symptoms, so they're isolating with them. But actually those absences, which I think at the start of this we really feared could skyrocket, that hasn't happened. And that's just due to the commitment and the hard work and the effort made by those people working in those businesses. And the good news is that we are now seeing people who have isolated coming back to work. And that's levelling off that absence rate. And that's meaning that food production facilities, distribution centres and shops are able to keep staffed, keep offering what they need to for their communities. And so, again, we pay tribute to the people working in our stores who've done such a great job.
And of course, very recently, the government announced widening of the scope of people that can apply for COVID-19 tests. What advice would you give to your members about that? Can they apply for one? And if so, how do they do it?
Yeah, so there's a system for employees, for key workers themselves to apply for tests. And that's essentially through the route of going to the drive-through centres for testing. But employers can also play their role. So if you are a convenience store operator or another employer in a key worker sector, you can send the central portal the governments have set up for this. You can send in details of the people who need testing. Now, those are people who are isolating, people with symptoms who are off work. It's not just for everyone. People who are isolating with symptoms. And that route really goes through the home testing. So the test is delivered. You conduct this test yourself, and then you send it back to the centre where it's then tested, and you find out within about 48 hours whether you've got COVID-19 or not. And then, of course, you can take appropriate action. You know, stay isolating if you have got it, or if you haven't, you can then have confidence to return to work. If you're well enough to do so, you might be ill with something else, of course, but it means that you shouldn't at that point then fear passing on COVID-19 if you go back into the workplace.
Of course, that's for people who might be looking to get a test already. Have you had any feedback already from any of your members about those who have been tested and maybe already returning to work now? Because it's been quite a few weeks now.
Yeah, it's still very early days. So most of the people who've returned to work haven't been formally tested. They've just gone through the period of isolation because they had symptoms, or a member of their household had symptoms. And they've then come back to work. So most of those people haven't been formally tested. That's now starting to happen. And so in the next couple of weeks, we'll start to hear from our members about members of their team or even themselves who've been tested, got a result, and have either come back to work or stayed isolating at home and hopefully made a full recovery. So we're yet to see the full impact of that testing, but we are seeing people who are isolated now coming back to work.
Now, of course, one thing that your members have been doing constantly since lockdown began is home deliveries. People might still be struggling to get to their supermarket for various reasons. Maybe they're vulnerable. Maybe they've had to self-isolate. Maybe they can't get a delivery slot from one of the bigger supermarkets. Do you just want to remind us again what your members are doing and how people can access these services?
Yeah, it's a really important point. And we've found that convenience stores are playing a particularly important role at the moment. We're seeing that our sales through the stores that are still open are significantly above what we'd expect them to be at this time of year. They've really sustained that trading, and that's because people don't want to travel too far. And when they're going there, they're buying a little bit more. They're also, as you say, receiving deliveries from those stores. Many of our members now offering deliveries to their customers. But the key thing to stitch this together is we've produced a retail services checklist so that stores can tell their local council what services they're offering. Are they offering delivery? Are they offering card not present services so you can pay on the phone if someone else is going to pick up the products for you? So where you're isolating, you might be more vulnerable, you're older, or you have some underlying health conditions. In all of those circumstances, if you can't use a neighbour or a friend or family who can help you, there is always support there for you. And the best place to start would be your local council. So look up their helplines. Every council has a helpline of some sort set up. And what we've tried to do is make sure those helplines are equipped with the information about what local shops are offering what services. So hopefully if you phone up your council, they can come up with a variety of ways to help you. But one of the ways they might be able to help, the advice they might give could be, there's this local shop. You can go and book a delivery at that local shop. They are offering home deliveries. It's close to you. And that hopefully will provide some reassurance to people who are in that position.
Fantastic. So if any of your members want to find out a bit more about what we've been talking about today, get some of that advice you were offering them earlier, or any consumers want to find out where they can get home deliveries or what services their shops are offering at the moment, where would you recommend they go to?
So for members, our website is acs.org.uk. And that's just a one-stop shop, if you like, for all the information about coronavirus, all the resources to help people deal with that, including the retailer services checklist, which I talked about a moment ago. So retailers can go there. For members of the public, you're very welcome to go to that same website, of course. But if you are struggling in terms of getting supply of products and need help, a good first port of call is your council, and look up what the helpline being offered by your council is, and they should be able to help you and direct you to people who can provide those products and services and support.
Thanks for listening to the Local Shop Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode in the future, and keep up to date with all the latest information on coronavirus, COVID-19, and indeed everything else from us on social media at @ACS_localshops for the main account. And you can now follow us, the podcast, ourselves on Twitter @localshoppod.